Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and with me today for the fourth of our four-part series is James Montemagno from Xamarin.
How's it going?
Excellent. So I'm happy that we made it through four. I'm a little sad that this is our fourth of four. We're already working on ideas for what we'll do for additional ones. I think we're not done here. I think we'll have to have you back.
It's been fantastic. I'd love to come back. Absolutely.
Excellent. So this is number four. We've looked to see what is Xamarin. We've looked at using portable class libraries. We've looked at using Azure Mobile Services. We've looked at it from the standpoint of building an app, kind of like a new app.
Yeah.
So today we're going to look at what do you do with existing apps. So you have existing apps and you say, hey, I want to mobilize these, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So that's what we're going to look at.
Yeah, you know, there's tons of developers out there today that, or maybe it just falls into your lap that you have an existing WPF app, Silverlight app, even a Windows Form app, you know what I mean? Or you have somebody sitting around and you're like, man, this would just be great with me on my mobile device. You know, you could try to throw it in a browser and do something like that, but you know, where's that code going to actually run at the end of the day? Is it going to be compatible with every device? But you really want that native look and feel, right? So today we're going to look at an actually existing Silverlight app. I'm going to pull up, this is from the Silverlight show. This is back from 2008, so it's actually a pretty old Silverlight app. And this was a diet calculator.
Okay.
So the whole goal here that they showed off was how to use an MVC pattern in a Silverlight application.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously things lend really well to MVVM, but you don't have to use MVVM, right? So they're showing off how to use MVC pattern in a Silverlight app.
Okay.
And this is what their app looked like. Here it is right here. Maybe not the most beautiful app in the entire world, but hey, it gets the job done.
Sure.
You can enter your age, weight, and let's see if we can figure that out here. So for instance, if I put in, I'm 27, weight, everything's in kilograms and centimeters. So I wrote it down ahead of time, so I didn't have to do that. So I could put in my height. What is that, like 170 centimeters? Waist, let's say 47. I could say my ideal weight, so if I'm 64, let's say I want to drop a kilogram, it'll automatically show me my BMI. I could enter cholesterol in here, so 5.17, my neck size, what's that, 30. Cool. Then on the bottom I can see what my BMI currently is, my waist ratio, calories per day that I can intake to maintain. So it's pretty nice. I don't think they ever finished this functionality over here.
Okay.
But that was it. And they gave you all this entire code to download, which I did. So you can pull up Visual Studio and look at their project.
Okay.
Looks pretty similar, right? Because it is.
Seems not the huge amount of code.
It's not. So it's pretty simple because it's just a single screen application that might be pulled up. But they have some views, and then they have this big core model. So obviously the big thing that they wanted to show off is that there's a lot of data input here, then there's a lot of number crunching very specifically with calculating the calories based on the different things, right? So they architectured it originally in this core library of MVC, so Model View Controller.
Okay.
And their views they actually had an interface for, so I think they actually kind of thought about bringing it to new platforms as well. So let's kind of take a look at the core of it, what my model looks like. And as you kind of expect, I have a lot of doubles and strings and level of activity, which is an enum, right? There it is. See how much you're actually doing. They implemented a whole bunch of event handlers in their model. So again, this is not my code. This was already written. But then what they have here is they have methods for setting ages and then calculating, let's say, the calories per day. So it's kind of nice because you at least have all this code in one place in your model, or in this case, in your calculator model. And then they have a controller over here that gives you nice ways of abstracting your model, so your actual views are not messing with your data, right? So you call these methods set gender, set weight, set height, and then this will actually update your model and then tell your UI what to display if necessary, right? And that's basically it. There's some event arguments, and they also made it so you could implement your own model with an interface.
Okay.
So again, this could be any application. That's a big thing we want to take away. This could be any, this could have been in WPF or a Windows Form app, but they've architectured this in MVC that they could take this and make it portable, right?
Okay.
So if I was to run this, just like we saw before, this is just going to run it inside of IE.
Yep.
Nice simple thing. Boom, easy. Okay. So that's the app, right? So really, when we look at this code, it's really abstracted in a way to almost lends really nice to being a portable class library,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
So we have a few ways of determining, you know, what code is mobilizable, right? So obviously with Xamarin, you know, you're going to be able to write all of your code in C# against the .NET framework for iOS and Android, and then also you have a Windows Phone and Windows Store apps, which .NET framework, right? So you can share code between all of them, right?
Sure.
So you get the native look, native feel on all those platforms, and then you get 100% API coverage on all of them, right?
Right.
So what you want. So we have a great tool. It's called scan.xamarin.com. It says, how mobile is your .NET, right? There's a cute little monkey behind a barrel of bananas. And what this does is it allows you to take your current XE, your DLL that you have. So maybe you know you download this Silverlight app or you're handed this Silverlight app, and you're like, man, well, what am I going to do with this code? How can I analyze it, right? So what you do is you drag and drop it in here, and it'll tell you what's the compatibility level of Android, iOS, Windows Phone, and Windows Store. Pretty slick, right?
Yeah.
So let's do it.
And it's the compatibility of the code, not the UI, correct?
Correct. And it'll show you if there's any UI code in there. It'll also bring that up. So the whole goal is, because that's the big thing, is not every single method is available. If it's something platform specific, like I'm using isolated storage, right? It'll tell you that, hey, I'm using isolated storage. That's not going to be compatible maybe on iOS or on Windows Store. It's a different namespace, right? So how to do this is I could have downloaded my my application, and there's a zap file, right? You could extract that because it's like a zip. But I've already ran this, so it's going to be in my debug folder. So in the very bottom here is actually my zap.
Mm-hmm.
Then, but I also have my DLL. So I can simply take that and drag it in here. This is actually a Silverlight app. So you can name it whatever you want. You can log into your account so you can actually get your results later. This is going to go ahead and upload that DLL and then scan it. As long as I have internet. There we go. Boom. Get some nice little, little charts and graphs, right?
Cool.
So it's kind of like a nice heads-up display of immediately seeing how compatible am I with Xamarin, Android, iOS, and Windows Phone or Windows Store, right?
Yeah.
And you could take an existing Windows Store, Windows Phone DLL and drag it over as well. So it's not limited to just Silverlight. You can take anything that's out there. You have a nice library that you've been using for years in all your projects. Well, now I want to use that on a mobile platform. This will tell you.
So we see that the Windows Phone is 100%, which shouldn't surprise us since Windows Phone is Windows Phone is essentially running Silverlight. And then, but we see that 75%, which is pretty good on the other ones, and then it tells us exactly what it found.
It tells us what it found, so we can download these results, we can share the reports, but this will tell us in our code where the compatibility issues are. So if there's methods that are all green, it won't show you that here. I think if in the report it shows you the full thing. But this will tell you any conflicts of code.
Tell you why? String textbox.txt?
Sure. So it'll actually tell you where everything is used. So it tells you where it's used in the namespace. And the reason is that a text box in system.windows.controls, this namespace doesn't exist.
Okay.
Right? Method is not available, you know, in iOS, Android, or Windows Phone. Because, you know, with Xamarin, it's not some magical wrapper layer for the user interface. It's the native interface, right?
Okay.
And most likely here, you could use a text box on Windows Store applications, but they change all the namespaces, right?
So that's the problem. The main problem here is not that text boxes don't have text on these other platforms. Of course they do.
Yeah.
But these namespaces don't exist.
Exactly. System.windows, you know, is probably not going to exist. There are some things that are cross-platform exist in that namespace, but for instance, framework element.tag, the get, this add checked, and the toggle button doesn't exist because the toggle button might not exist.
Now, is a lot of that UI code?
Actually, almost, I think all of this is actually UI code.
Okay.
Right? And that's why we're actually
seeing. Because we're not expecting to reuse the UI in the first place.
Exactly. Because we're mobilizing it, right?
Yeah.
We just don't want to try to throw it over on these mobile devices. So even though here.
We'd love it if somebody created tools that would take the UI on one platform and generate the native UI on the other platforms, but until we find something like that, we're expecting to have to redo the UI.
Yeah, and you could do that. So, I mean, for instance here, right, with Windows Phone, sure, we could probably maybe change a few XLMS tags in the XAML and put it over, but do you really want to run that? And how are you going to display that, right? So even if you did a perfect one-to-one mapping, right?
So let's pretend that's a beautiful UI, right? I mean, you would still have the issue of certainly going from phone to Windows Store, you can reuse a bunch of the XAML, not all of it, but you can reuse a bunch of the XAML. But going to iOS and Android, you don't have reuse of the XAML.
Yeah. So, and then really on the phone, since it is a restrictor, you know, Windows Store is a little bit more desktop-oriented.
Yeah.
Or phone, even though here we're going to implement our own UI because we want to make sure it looks really good, takes advantage of some toolkits that are out there too.
Yep.
So this is all just UI code, but this is a great heads-up display and I can reference it anytime later because I'm logged into my Xamarin account.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. So here we are inside of our Silverlight application. Now we've talked about portable class libraries before, and that's where we want to put this code.
Right.
Right. So. Right now, it's restricted because it's sitting in this Silverlight application. But obviously, what you can do now is, if you don't know what portable class library is, it's one assembly, right? It allows you to target certain platforms, and it just works on all platforms, right? So it's really great. So under Windows here, we'll see portable class library. I'm going to call this dietcalculator.core.
Do you need to spell it right for later code?
Probably. So diet calculator.
Calculator.
How's that look?
It only matters if you have code later on that expects that name to be right. I'm not giving you crap about how you spell.
Yeah. So here we go. I'm creating my portable class library now. I was running this earlier, so let me just make sure that this doesn't exist already because I was testing it. And it does, so I'm going to delete this guy so we can kind of create something from scratch. Sorry about that. All right, cool. So this is the dialogue that we want to see.
Yes.
So if I zoom in here, so we get a full display, Hansel Minute here for you. So I've created one assembly that's going to target .NET 4.5, Windows Store apps, Silverlight, Windows Phone, Android, and iOS.
Yes.
Now, it's important to remember that it's platform-independent code. So any of the UI code, if I tried to put it in there, it wouldn't let me.
Right.
Now, the more and more checkboxes I select, the smaller that subset of .NET becomes, right? Because not every API that's available in Silverlight 5 is available on Windows Phone or Android or iOS. So, but we want to create a simple, it's pretty simple here, so we want to go ahead and create this entire portable class library. Boom. There it is. So dietcalculator.core. It gives me a default class. We're going to delete it. So we could do all the file linking and things like that into the other projects that we'll create later, but I'm just simply going to put this into my core PCL by dragging and dropping that code.
Just copy it all over, hit build, and see if it works.
Yep. So here, the first thing I'll do is I'll delete everything now from my Silverlight app. All right, so...
I would have built it first before deleting, but
I delete it all. Just go for it. Go
You're
for
crazy.
It.
Crazy.
Right? I'm going to then add a reference from my solution to dietcalculator.core. All right, let's build it. Success. All right, that's good. All right. And we're going to run this guy. Boom.
So in reality, what do you think, how often would it be the case that you could literally just drag that code over, delete it, build it, run it, it just works?
Well, in this instance, the MVC approach that they took for this sample app, it was heavily abstracted, right? It was really built to really show that you could build any user interface for this.
Okay.
It was designed that way.
Okay, it's designed that way.
Now, if you're mixing and matching UI and stuff, you're going to start to clean out your code a little bit.
But the report, the scanner would have told you that.
Would have told you
that there was code in that core that wasn't going to work.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's kind of nice. If I took the same and I built this portable class library and brought it over, I'd see 100%, right? Because it is 100%.
Yep. Okay.
So I get the same UI as I update these 27.
So now all of that code is reusable as is in all of the front ends.
Exactly. Which is pretty cool, right?
Yep.
So as I start to fill this out, I start to get some nice detail calories. So same functionality, right? Perfect. All right. So the very first thing we'll do, we want to bring it to new or mobilize it to new mobile platforms. And now we have...
As well as leaving the Silverlight app up and running.
Yeah,
right?
It's good.
It's an existing app that works just fine.
That's great. Yeah, now, if I didn't...
Mobilizing does not necessarily mean get rid of the existing app.
Exactly, right? Because there might be tons of users that are using this existing app already, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to, you know, upset them at all. You know, you have a WinForm app or a WPF app. It's a business mission-critical app, right? Now, you
that
could do...
last time anybody checked, works.
Works, right? And they want it to just work.
Yes.
Right?
And will continue to work for quite some time.
Now, yeah, if you really, really didn't want to do anything, you could have left that code in here, but that seems a little silly because we make any changes here, we probably want to also update
Absolutely.
And bring new features to Silverlight. Right. So the first thing I want to do is we're going to build out an Android, iOS, and a Windows Phone app. And I'll focus on Android first, and then we'll go to Windows Phone and then iOS and see what those look like. And we'll add some new features, too, to kind of show off the real reason to use portable class libraries and why we're mobilizing it, right? So here's my Android templates. I've installed Xamarin iOS and Android, so I have an Android and iOS project templates here. Mm-hmm. These are all for the different versions of Android, so the minimum target, just as if you're going from a 7.5 application or an 8 app, but we ask you up front to give you some better templates. So we'll call this Diet Calculator Android.
So you want the Visual Studio team to add autocorrect.
Autocorrect into that.
Wouldn't that be cool? Why don't they do that?
Feature request.
I know exactly who to ask. And I know exactly the response I'll get.
That would be nice. You put this little nice little pop-up and say, hey, you know, are you sure you want to do that?
Yeah.
So right inside of here, I have my Diet Calculator Android project. And just like we added our reference to our Silverlight project, yep. Going to add the same reference here into my Android application. Mm-hmm. There it is, dietcalculator.core. Perfect, right? So when I install this template, Xamarin Android apps are native apps, so we follow the same native markup and resource and file structures. So we've kind of gone over this before, but I have drawables, which are like my assets. I have layout and value. So layouts are all my user interface objects here. So the default template gives me a nice Hello World button click, and we can zoom in here. This is going to feel familiar, right? If you're coming from a WinForm world or you're coming from a WPF world, you get a nice designer, you get a full toolkit here. And if I wanted to start building out this user interface, I could actually do something like this and get kind of crazy, where I pull up both of my UIs, mark this guy down, I start building it out, right? Because I'm gonna create a two-page screen here. First one will be data entry and then a results screen.
Okay.
So I have my first page, and I could do something like add some text, drag and drop some text in. Like I said, this is gonna be, you know, my age. Then I could do getting a little bit crazy there. I want to enter some numbers. So these are the text fields to enter numbers, and there's a decimal one here that'll pop up the correct keyboard for me. Enter that there, and it's actually just a tiny little line. You can see it down there. It's a little bit hard to see. But I can continue building.
Number decimal. So this is for kids who are like 4 or 5, right?
Yeah.
What age do you stop saying you're half?
Half, yeah.
I think it's like 9.
9.5. Once you hit the double digits, right, it's like no.
Yeah.
And you could restrict this too to say only allow, you know, based on the keyboard, just, you know, each platform has its own keyboard. So I could continue dragging and dropping this out. But what this is really doing is it's creating this native Android markup language. So we can see here I'm getting
XML, very understandable.
Yeah, and that's
one. Once you get used to it, it's not that hard.
And I think a lot of developers might be coming from a WPF world or a Silverlight world where they're used to markup language. I started with Windows. I started with WPF. I don't know if you know too much about it. I actually started with
WPF?
I started with WinForms. Well, sorry. I started in C++.
Okay.
Then I found C#, and I built some Xbox 360 games. And then I said, I'm going to do printer software. So I did that for a long time. And when I was doing printer software, it was all WinForms. So I started in WinForm land, moved to WPF world, and I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. Like, this is fantastic, because it's a great representation of the user interface.
Right.
I can understand this more than trying to figure out stick this here and make this stick here, just stretch it, right? And then I moved to Windows Phone, and I fell in love because I knew WPF, knew Windows Phone. So when I started cross-platform development between everything, I fell in love with Android because this felt very familiar to me.
It's very familiar. The learning curve is not that high. It's verbose, it's wordy, but it's just words.
It's just
words.
You
understand the structure. You look at that and go, oh, okay, I understand.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, linear layout, what's that? Man. Well,
it's a container.
It's a container. And what? Oh, it's orientation's vertical? That sounds like a stack panel.
Exactly. Right?
And in fact, it is.
Exactly. It's essentially what it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
So then I have a text view and an edit view down here. Sure. And this is where we have our input type decimal. And then again, I could come over to my designer, and then I could look at every single property here too. So.
And you could build this out just in the XML, or you could build it out in the designer. Are there blend-like tools that you could use?
Not quite Blend because Blend really ties heavily.
Well, something like Blend. Is there a Blend-like tool that's aimed at designers for Android development?
Not that I know off the top of my head. I'm sure there probably is something out there for it. And what's great is if it was a tool that was made for, you know, Java development, it's, you know, these are native XMLs. It doesn't matter, right? You drag and drop those same files in here. I find myself trying to find gradients all the time, and I've seen a lot of tools online that'll say, all right, in Android, it's actually a big, long XML file, kind of like Blend, right? So there are some tools that I've found if you do like Android gradient generator, it'll dump out the XML for you. I wish there was some Blend-like tools. I do like Blend quite a bit for Windows Phone and Windows Store stuff. But again, you get access to everything, so it's pretty great. So I could build out all the screen. That'd be boring. So let's just go ahead and drag some stuff in here, right? So I'm going to come over here. I'm going to snap some windows. And I have my Android folder. So I've kind of built this out ahead of time to kind of speed up the demo a little bit. But you'd imagine I'm going to build out the UI here. So here I have some drawables, which are just some lines that I'm going to use in between. I have some layouts. So I have a main, a results, and a little spinner item.
So for this demo, you did not do the various DPIs?
Not for this demo.
Okay.
Yeah. But ideally, so once you start adding more, now, so Android is like DPI dependent, so you have like high density, extra high, extra, it gets big. So usually that comes into place with, you can specify different, I could have a different line resolution for each one. That's the way to do it, correct.
Right. Okay.
And in fact, you could specify different layouts for landscape versus portrait and different sizes as well. So for this demo, we're just going to drag some of these in here, but. And again, there's also an Android Asset Studios where you can generate your icons, generate assets, and it'll scale everything for you. So I also have some colors and some strings that I'm going to put in here, just like a ResX file, right? We have strings.xml, which is a XML representation of our strings. And that's our code, our UI. So let's take a look at that. So again, two page. First page is going to be a, zoom in here for you. Go ahead and build this guy up. Oh, it's going to get upset with me because I didn't. Let's remove some of this guy here. There we go. So we have, let me see if this guy will, oh, let's see if this thing will update. I'm not sure why the strings aren't displaying, but those display when I run on the device, I'm sure. Okay. So we have a few things. We see I'm referencing string age, string gender. I have some different examples in here. And when I go to the results page, I have the same thing. Oh, these ones are showing up in here. So we have results, lean body mass, and I'm going to display this. And the big thing is on the very bottom of this page, I added a button that says calculate, and you press that and goes to the next page. So that's our main user interface that we've laid out, but we also want to tie in the backend code, right?
Yep.
So if we look at the backend code over in the view for the Silverlight, they actually went out and you actually get access to all the names. So if you have a text button, you named it, you know, age text box, you're going to get access to it. And then they added and removed all these event handlers, and then when things change, they actually update the UI. So there's quite a bit of code, and this is mostly reusable because you have your controller, and then you would just update what you're passing into it,
right?
So that's kind of what we do on our Android one. So if I go into my activity one, I could start finding the different elements. I'm going to add that in there so we can speed this up a little bit, but we can take a look at that code. Okay. So we have our main activity, which this guy is automatically getting access to my calculator model, my calculator controller that I'm newing up here. And then in Android, everything's a little bit decoupled. So we specify a user interface to use our main Android XML.
Yep.
But we don't get access to everything. We have to go and find all the buttons and everything on the screen. So just kind of like might have to do back in the day where you would name something, it would generate the CS file behind for you. We have to go and find the text views and the heights.
Okay.
Lay out some user interface, and then this is where it actually looks very, very similar to what we just saw. We have our controller, set age, but in this instance, we're passing in an ageText.text.
Okay.
And in fact, if we had named these very similar, most of this would have actually mapped. There wouldn't have been too much to do.
Right.
And then what we do is we navigate across. So what we do here is we navigate from our main page. We've already calculated everything, and we're passing this almost like a navigation page where you can pass arguments. In Android, you pass all of that across. And that's going to go to our results page, which again is going to look pretty similar. I find all my text views. Then I get that information from the intent or the arguments that were passed to me on my results.
That intent was passed to this results activity?
Magically by Android.
Magically. Cool. All right.
So, yeah, Android handles. So when I say new intent, I want to go from this screen to this screen.
Okay, here so there you tie it into results activity. Okay.
Exactly. So I've already populated everything. I go from here to here, and you can't pass actual objects around. I mean, you could create something static and something like that. That's not best practice, though, right? But we're passing in our arguments across here and saying these are the extras, they call them, on the intent to pass. And then Android handles sending it all this information.
Okay.
So cool. Let's go ahead and set this guy, and let's see what it looks like over here. So it's great is that, you know, I tied in my user interface, tied in the backend code, which in this one is quite a bit because I'm doing an MVC approach with it. But now here we go. So we can see here I get a nice display. I have like underlines for age, gender, height, and width, but I can enter 20, I'm 27, male. I get a nice little spinner here. I can enter my height. Weight, I'll kind of follow this. Ideal weight, we'll say 64 again. Oops, a little bug in my code, it looks like. There we go. And then I could go ahead and say calculate. And then it passes over to this screen. So two-page, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is very simple because we just mimicked the Silverlight app that was handed to us. But
that's what our job was.
That's what our job was, right? We wanted to mobilize
that app.
I could store some of this information that might be the same, like age, and keep it around for later, too.
Sure.
But from right off the bat, this is great because my app is now mobile on my Android device, right? And we do the same
thing. You could also hook it up to Azure Mobile Services if you wanted to store the data online, as opposed to, you know, if you wanted to track results over time or whatever.
Absolutely. Like right now, you know, if people don't want to buy devices or things to track it, you can instantly get all this data and then charts and graphs and tables, and you can see per day and make it really pretty, right?
Yep.
So it's like a great jumping point to make this a really amazing mobile app. So I can do the same thing for Windows Phone and iOS, but let's just go ahead and bring in those projects.
Okay.
So here I can add an existing project.
And this code you're going to make available?
All on GitHub, yeah.
Yep.
So here's my Windows Phone project. Again, I've referenced the dietcalculator.core.
The key, of course, in the original app, the reason this is so easy is because the original app was architected to make the code easy to put into a portable class library. If you haven't done that up front, then you've got some work to do. So the more you do that in the original app, the easier it will be to
bring it over.
Mobilize it,
And that's the main point, too, is that, you do have a lot of apps that are out there today. Some architecture good, maybe not so good. It depends how you've been following it. But if you have been using an MVC approach or an MVVM approach, or some sort of architecture, like they actually
any
lend
type of abstraction. This is the whole point of abstracting, right? It's never too late to start abstracting. It's never too late to start it in earnest.
Yeah, put all your business logic, right? That's what all this is. I took all my business logic. Take all your business logic, your models, your view models, whatever. Let's let those be shared across everything.
And
those are doing the heavy lifting.
You don't have to go to the level of doing interfaces and factories. You don't have to do that. You can, you can decide how many layers of abstraction you want to do, but you at least got to get code out of the UI into at least one layer of abstraction so that you can reuse it. Even if it's just one giant class that does everything, that's fine, as long as it can be removed and separated.
Exactly. Or start slow, right? Start all your utilities. I always have a utility class, right? So you start bringing all that business logic over that's shared. So here I've not only added a...
And just to put a final point on that, it doesn't require MVVM or MVC. Mm-mm. Right, those are ways of doing abstraction, but abstraction doesn't require those.
That's the key. I think that's what's great about Windows Phone or Xamarin Android iOS or Windows Store apps. They don't force you to do anything that you don't want to do.
It's just code.
Just code.
The runtime doesn't care. The runtime doesn't care how you've organized your code.
Yeah.
Your fellow developers might.
Yeah.
You might when you come back to a project a year later and you can't make heads nor tails of it, but the runtime doesn't care.
Well, I imagine if we took this was from 2008, right? It was like a six-year-old project. We mobilized it. If they had an architecture this way, it would have been a lot more work for us, right? But they've done that work for us. So I also have a NuGet. I brought in the Windows Phone Controls Toolkit, which is very, very common. I love that toolkit. And then we have a few pages again. We have a main page. There we go. So we get a nice native look and feel to it with the nice little picker here. And then what we can see is in our code behind, there's not too much work. We just have a few things that when things change, we want to update other elements and we could probably do some data binding. And they didn't implement that, so we didn't add any new code. So we could have done some notification events in here as well, but they didn't implement that, so we didn't add new code. So that's what's happening here. And then when we click calculate, it's going to go again, pass all that code, which again, we named everything the same, so we literally just copied pasted this over. And then we navigate natively, though, to the results page. And with the results page, there's actually no code behind. Look at that. You set the data context to the model, all data binding, done.
Cool.
Right? So if we set this guy as our startup, there we go.
And there it is. Right? Excellent.
Get into your details. You could scroll through. Same thing, right? Beautiful, but now I'm getting a nice look and feel, and I can customize this.
Yep.
I could probably even bring in the grid and make sure all the margins are correct, I'm sure. So that's kind of nice, right? And of course, the last thing would be to bring over the iOS version as well. And this is pretty similar. Where we have, in fact, a reference our dietcalculator.core. One of my favorite toolkits out there, it's not really a toolkit, it's a way of creating user interfaces and code behind. It's called monotouch.dialog. It's very early in Xamarin and Mono and things like that that was created by Miguel.
Okay.
It allows you to create all of your user interface and the code behind to create nice, beautiful custom cells and things like that. And it works great for data entry like this. So if we look at our main page here, this is our app dialog.
That's actually a good point. We've focused quite a bit in these episodes on the sharing of code and how you can write the code and reuse it once. It's just C# code.
Yeah.
If you are going to build apps for the various devices, you really do need to start getting pretty good at the UI, right?
Yeah.
It won't do to have a reasonably good-looking Windows Store and Windows Phone app, because I understand XAML, and then an iOS and an Android app that kind of looks crappy because I don't really understand that.
Yeah.
You know, so you do need to spend some time learning it yourself or finding somebody that knows it. You might yourself build good enough and then hand it over to somebody that understands it better to turn it into something that's better looking. You do need to build apps that look like they were built for the platform and that do take advantage of the platform's UI.
Yeah, and there's a reason that I built out a different Android version than a Windows Phone version. They look similar, but native to the platform. We have full apps that are available when you go to Xamarin.com that you can download the full source code, take a look at how we architectured it. And obviously great documentation. And the same UI, like how I learned Android UI was I looked at all the apps and I said, what did Google do? What did Apple do? What did Microsoft do?
There's also also books out there. There's, you know, iOS for .NET developer books. There's also, you know, some books that cover the Xamarin stuff. So you should definitely go out and even if you're not learning Objective-C or Java, the whole point of this is that you don't have to, but you do need to understand the UI.
Yeah. And yeah, with Xamarin apps too, you get full access to anything that you could do in Objective-C or in Java, you can do in C# with Xamarin.
Yep.
You know, tie into Bluetooth, NFC, iBeacons, whatever.
Yeah.
So here, what we've done is I'm still getting access to my calculator models. The difference here is that I have a create UI method that creates everything in the code behind. I could create it up front, but this really lends well to some data entry with monotouch.dialog. Mm-hmm. Allows me to get a nice table view with different editable cells and rows and things like that. So here I have a radio group. I put a few elements in there, which are female, male. I go down and I have another radio group for level of activity. Then we can start looking at our data entry, right? There's a section with different entry elements into it. And this will handle all the hard work. And each of these elements have a value on it. So I could say value dot, and this is a numeric entry element. Right, so another section for waist
and hips.
And
this is creating your UI.
It's creating all my UI.
This is the cool thing about it. You're creating the UI in C#.
Exactly.
You could go and use Xcode and do the UI that way, but you don't have to.
Don't have to. So here, that's exactly what I'm doing is I've laid out all of this here. I'm laying out like a title and then a little helper method here, what the helper text is, right?
Yep.
Then I have another section. This is the calculate button.
And here's the familiar controller.set.
Exactly, right?
Yep.
So controller.set, I'm using tying into that controller that was reused in our portable class library. And then I pass it the results. And here it is. So here's my calories per day, and I two-string it, and I put it all out. So I actually navigate across to this brand new page. That's what I do here.
Cool.
So when they click it, I actually navigate to a brand new page. So let's see what this one looks like. So here, since I have Xamarin iOS installed, here I'm connected to my Mac, get a connection status, and then I can debug it on my iPhone. Again, I could be stepping through all this code, and I could look and see what's changing if I had to modify some values, right? But really, we just want to kind of get it up and running and seeing what it looks like to mobilize this app. Here, it's gone out, it's compiled it all up.
And there it is.
There it is. I have a nice look and feel. It's very iOS 70.
Yes, it is.
I can enter all that data here, 27. I can see, you know, maybe I was doing something else, 170. I can enter all this data here, but I'm getting everything in a nice look and feel, and then I navigate to my results screen.
Very cool. All
right, so my Windows phone didn't look like my Android or didn't look like my iOS didn't look the same, but same functionality, but native look and feel on each platform with just some code.
Yep.
Right? But cap it off with something really cool, which is the reason we put it in a portable class library. Now, I've kind of struggled, and I put all this helper text in here to really help me with the metric.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm not a metric master, per se. I live in Imperial World here in the U.S., so kilograms and centimeters, I don't know my kilograms offhand, right? So if I look at my portable class library, my core library, when I go into my model, we could see where things are being calculated for me. So when I was setting my, I believe that there is a calculate, like ideal BMI, it's doing all this hard work for me, and it was expecting everything to be in kilograms.
Yep.
So I said, what if I was to allow a toggle? What if I could toggle on or off Imperial, right? So I've updated this code ahead of time. So this is actually new code that I added, but I created a little helper statics.
Excellent, okay.
So use Imperial, and right now it's set to false, which is the default functionality, but I added some configuration, which is kilograms to pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So my two, because in case you don't know, it's 2.20462 to one.
Everybody knows that.
Everyone knows that, right? And same thing for centimeters to inches.
Uh-huh.
So all I need to do is toggle this to true, and I could actually then like see where I'm using all this, right?
Yeah.
So here's, I'm using this when I set my weight. So I'm converting it back to kilograms. So I'm entering everything in Imperial, but all the business logic is untouched.
Okay.
That was my goal. It's like, I don't want to touch, I don't want to have a change my business logic if Imperial or not.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just go ahead and set this in the code behind. And then when I calculate it, I'll do the conversions. So there's a few places where I do that for the weight or when I'm calculating the BMI or that.
You could also make this a setting of the app so that
Absolutely.
People could decide what they wanted to do.
And you could even, you know, default it based on your regional settings as well, right? That's something to look at. If you're in the U.S., maybe default to Imperial.
That'd be interesting.
Right? Yeah, you could totally
when
do
I'm
that.
When I'm in the U.S., it asks for weight, but when I go to Europe, it asks me for kilograms.
Exactly.
It doesn't But I still don't know kilograms.
Yeah, still don't know kilograms. But maybe then have a toggle for it, right? Yeah. So I've updated the Android app to put...
That would be called the get with the program feature.
Yeah. So I put all of my strings we saw earlier over here. So this is all my Android strings, very much like a ResX file. Now, ideally what you would do is you'd create two different ones. You'd have a, you know, Imperial weight unit, this unit. But what I could do here is I could then update this to pounds. Just to make this a simple example,
I
could say, you know, default age is probably fine. I'll say pounds.
Is there a way to automate that?
You could probably do this.
Okay.
Yeah. So ideally what you would do is you'd have multiple and then you would switch in the UI based on it when you toggle. But for this demo, I'm gonna do this. So say 150, height is also gonna be in inches. When I started doing this, doing the sample and testing it out, I quickly realized that it was actually a little bit hard for me to figure out inches for feet, and I was like, oh, this seems like easy math. Why don't I know this? But ideally, yeah, you would probably have two of these in here. So my waist example, I have it written down too. So inch, hips, what do I have? Oh, I think 20. Ideal weight, we'll put pounds in here. So maybe you only did want to make it US only. I don't know. But ideal here, too, is that my BMI is actually always in kilograms per meter squared. That's just how it is. And I didn't know the cholesterol. I think it's always in these HDLs for me here.
Yep.
So I didn't want to modify that. So that's something that you would kind of be context aware of as well. So here's my neck, which was 12. That'd be a big neck. Okay, cool. So that's kind of all I've changed with just some resource files. Mm-hmm. And in fact, what you could do is, and what I do in my main activity, is when I pass these arguments over, you could put a little switch here to say, what do you want the UI to display, right?
Right.
Based on the Boolean setting that's there. So now if I run my Android app again, I've updated the resources, I've gone into my model and toggled use Imperial to true. And we could probably put a breakpoint in here where I set the weight. Let's do that. So I'll pull up my Android application. So here we go. Now what we can see down here is the UI is updated.
Yeah.
So updates the UI with inches and pounds. But when I set my, let's say I'm 27, weight 150. I think it actually sets it later on when I do it. So let's see, 68. I could set more values and then calculate. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when I'm actually going to set it to actually calculate the results. So I have my value of 150 I'm going to pass in, calculation, then the next screen reflects correctly my same results, right? But all I've done is, I could do the same thing on iOS and Windows Phone, put in those toggles, put a little switch in there between the two, but I don't have to change any of my business logic. That's the key. I've added new features. I've added the ability to go to Imperial with just a few lines of code. So
excellent.
I can do the same thing for Windows Store, which is in the GitHub too. So
cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So we've reached the end of our four-part overview of building cross-platform apps with Xamarin. Let's review where people can go to learn more.
Sure.
Obviously, they can watch all of the episodes in this, play around with the code. We'll have links to all that. But there's a couple additional places they can go to, starting with Xamarin University.
Yeah. I'll pull up this slide here. So. Xamarin University is a brand new program that we offer. We talked a little bit about it, but it's really fantastic. It's a full year-long subscription, and you get live online training from real instructors online. All the videos are archived from beginning with iOS, Android, and Windows development and full cross-platform development. So you can focus in on, I want to start learning about Android UI, iOS UI, and Windows Phone UI, and then tie it all together cross-platform, right? And you can get certified as well as a mobile developer in iOS, Android, or cross-platform as well. You have a full year of all these resources available to you. It's really cool. So we also have our developer conference upcoming. Mm-hmm. We talked before, we have Evolve 2013 was last year. Hanselman was at one of our keynote. We had other Microsoft people there. It was really fantastic. And over 600 attendees, and we're doing it again this year. We announced the save a date. It's going to be October 6th through 10th, so we've extended it a day. It's really fantastic. Tons of sessions. I mean, it's going to be fantastic. You go to xamarin.com/evolve, sign up for the save a date to get more information, and you can even watch all of last year's videos on there,
too. Will it be bigger this year? Will it
bigger and better.
So more than 650 people.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Cool. It's going to be amazing, yeah.
So, excellent. But
hopefully this episode too. So these are some resources to get you started. Obviously, Xamarin.com.
Yeah.
We have a doc section. Download the tools. But really, I want to take away here is, you know, if you're coming and you had a WPF, Silverlight, WinForm app, you know, taking this code, scanning it, getting it in. The reason is why not mobilize it? You know, there's no reason not to mobilize this cross-platform on all the devices to bring your application to life again.
Yeah. And it's pretty doable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thanks so much for doing this.
Absolutely. It was awesome. Yeah.
Hope you guys like this. Let us know what you'd want to see on additional subjects. We'd love to get you back later on. And we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.